Musculoskeletal applications. Musculoskeletal biofeedback addresses a wide range of conditions where patients maintain intact proprioception, which is our internal sense of body position and movement. These applications span from eye muscle control, blepharospasm, to pelvic floor disorders, erectile dysfunction, urinary incontinence, and post-surgical rehabilitation, meniscectomy. The evidence base has grown substantially, with the latest evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback, 4th edition, reporting major advances. Erectile dysfunction and urinary incontinence for both men and women have achieved level 5, efficacious and specific ratings, representing the highest level of scientific validation. This requires multiple randomized controlled trials showing superiority to credible alternative treatments across independent research settings. Pediatric urinary incontinence has achieved level 4, efficacious, indicating strong evidence, but requiring additional research for the highest classification. Treatment protocols typically involve surface electromyography, SEMG, to provide real-time feedback about muscle activity. This allows patients to visualize muscle function they normally can't see or feel well, enabling them to improve control and strength through targeted practice. The approach proves particularly effective because patients can actively participate in their rehabilitation while receiving precise feedback about their progress. Blepharospasm. Symptoms. Blepharospasm manifests as involuntary spasms of both eyelids, characterized by bilateral blinking. These spasms can range from increased blinking frequency to severe cases where patients experience ocular pain, facial spasms, and disabling interference with vision. In advanced cases, patients may become functionally blind, unable to perform daily activities like driving, reading, or walking safely. This often leads to secondary effects including anxiety, depression, and social withdrawal. Demographics. The condition affects approximately 50,000 Americans, with 2,000 new cases diagnosed annually. It shows a clear gender disparity, affecting women more frequently than men in a 1.8-to-1 ratio. The average age at diagnosis is 56, with 2/3 of patients being 60 or older. The overall prevalence is approximately 5 in 100,000 people. Treatment protocols. The primary treatment uses SEMG biofeedback with miniature surface electrodes, 0.5 centimeters, placed over the orbicularis oculi muscles surrounding the eyes. Clinicians teach patients to identify and reduce elevated SEMG levels associated with muscle hyperactivity. Treatment typically combines clinical sessions using sophisticated biofeedback equipment with home practice using a mirror for feedback. This dual approach helps patients develop awareness of muscle tension and practice relaxation techniques in real-world settings. Efficacy. The latest edition of evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback, 4th edition, did not evaluate the efficacy rating of this application. This represents a gap in systematic research rather than a judgment on effectiveness. Clinical practice continues to show promising results, particularly in helping patients reduce spasticity and regain functional control of their eyelids. Erectile dysfunction. The impact of erectile dysfunction, ED, extends far beyond physical symptoms, affecting intimate relationships and quality of life. Men experiencing ED find themselves unable to achieve or maintain sufficient erection for sexual intercourse, with causes ranging from neurogenic and psychogenic factors to endocrinologic and iatrogenic origins. Surgical procedures, particularly radical prostatectomy, RP, for prostate cancer treatment, create a significant risk, with ED affecting between 26% and 100% of patients due to neurovascular bundle injury. The prevalence of ED in the United States is striking, affecting 18.4% of men over age 20, with higher rates among those managing diabetes, hypertension, and major depression. The National Health and Social Life Survey revealed that 10.4% of men aged 18 to 59 experienced ED during the previous year, highlighting its impact across age groups. For surgical cases, the varying rates of post-prostatectomy ED underscore the critical need for effective rehabilitation approaches. Treatment through pelvic floor biofeedback training, PFBT, represents a comprehensive approach to recovery. During weekly sessions spanning 3 to 4 months, patients engage with sophisticated biofeedback equipment that provides real-time information about their muscle activity. This feedback helps them develop awareness and control of the ischiocavernosus and bulbospongiosus muscles, crucial for erectile function. The treatment integrates EMG biofeedback with electrical stimulation of perineal muscles, while patients learn specific pelvic floor exercises and implement lifestyle modifications to support their recovery. Efficacy. Meehan and Schaefer, 2023, rated EMG biofeedback as efficacious and specific for treating ED. Two independent randomized controlled trials, RCTs, one for participants after RP and one for non-iatrogenic ED, demonstrated that interventions combining pelvic floor muscle exercises, EMG biofeedback, and electrical stimulation can restore or improve erectile function. These RCTs found that the investigational treatment was statistically superior to alternative bona fide treatments, pelvic floor contraction exercises, and lifestyle counseling. The studies were conducted in independent research settings. Fecal elimination disorders. Fecal incontinence represents one of the most challenging and socially isolating conditions treated with biofeedback. Affecting 2 to 3% of the population, this involuntary release of feces or gas stems from various causes, including congenital abnormalities, anal sphincter damage from childbirth or surgery, and medical conditions such as diabetes, stroke, and neurodegenerative disorders. Childbirth emerges as the leading predisposing factor, potentially damaging the internal or external anal sphincter or injuring the pudendal nerve. The treatment approach integrates multiple biofeedback modalities to restore control. Balloon manometers provide realistic simulation of fecal material movement while measuring sphincter response, allowing patients to practice control in a clinical setting. Electromyographic feedback monitors the external anal sphincter's activity, helping patients develop precise control over these muscles. Ultrasound visualization of the anal canal adds another dimension to the feedback process, allowing both clinicians and patients to observe functional improvements. The comprehensive treatment protocol extends beyond basic biofeedback. Patients engage in bowel training to establish regular patterns, receive guidance on dietary modifications, and learn specific sphincter control exercises for daily practice. Medications may complement these approaches when appropriate. This integrated approach aims to enhance rectal sensitivity, strengthen perianal muscles, and improve coordination between internal and external anal sphincters. Efficacy. Evidence supports the effectiveness of this comprehensive approach. For adults, biofeedback has achieved a level 4 efficacious rating, with studies showing improvement rates between 60% and 92%. While the latest edition hasn't formally evaluated pediatric applications, research indicates impressive improvement rates of 44% to 80% in children. Meta-analyses further support these findings, with Vonthian's research showing remission rates of 20 to 54%, doubling when combined with electrical stimulation. Solomon's randomized controlled trial demonstrated increased continence in 70% of patients using multiple biofeedback modalities, confirming the value of this integrated approach. Functional constipation. Functional constipation presents a complex challenge in gastroenterology, characterized by the abnormally slow movement of fecal material through the colon and difficulties with stool evacuation. This condition affects approximately 15% of Americans, with about 2% reporting constant or frequent episodes. The impact on quality of life can be substantial, affecting work, social interactions, and overall well-being. The condition manifests through two primary mechanisms: slow transit constipation and dyssynergic defecation. Slow transit constipation often results from lifestyle factors such as chronic laxative abuse, inadequate dietary fiber and fluid consumption, or excessive alcohol or caffeine intake. Dyssynergic defecation, on the other hand, involves problems with the coordination of anal muscles during evacuation, either due to dysfunctional contraction relaxation patterns or insufficient effort. Treatment through biofeedback takes multiple forms, each targeting specific aspects of the condition. EMG biofeedback helps patients visualize and improve their muscle control, while manometric biofeedback provides information about pressure changes in the rectum and anal canal. Sensory training complements these approaches by helping patients better recognize and respond to the urge to defecate. Think of it as retraining the body's natural rhythms and responses. Efficacy. The evidence supporting biofeedback for chronic constipation has earned it a level 4 efficacious rating in the Evidence-Based Practice in Biofeedback and Neurofeedback, 3rd edition. Research shows that biofeedback consistently outperforms standard treatments, including laxatives and patient education. Particularly noteworthy is its effectiveness in addressing evacuation difficulties rather than slow transit issues. While EMG biofeedback shows the strongest support, studies indicate that no single form of biofeedback demonstrates clear superiority over others, suggesting that individualized treatment approaches may be most beneficial. Urinary incontinence. Urinary incontinence, UI, represents one of biofeedback's greatest success stories, with robust evidence supporting its effectiveness across different populations. This condition, affecting approximately 13 million Americans, manifests in several forms. Urge incontinence, involuntary emptying of the entire bladder, stress incontinence, loss of urine with increased abdominal pressure, mixed incontinence, combination of stress and urge, and overflow incontinence, caused by urethral blockage. The demographics reveal a significant gender disparity, with women experiencing UI twice as frequently as men. The condition's impact extends beyond individual suffering. It often becomes the primary reason for nursing home admission when families can no longer manage care at home. Understanding the anatomy helps explain why biofeedback proves so effective. The complex interplay between the detrusor muscle, internal urethral sphincter, involuntary, and external urethral sphincter, voluntary, creates multiple opportunities for therapeutic intervention. Treatment protocols have evolved to address specific types of incontinence. Clinicians employ three main strategies: reducing detrusor overactivity through bladder monitoring, strengthening pelvic floor muscles using SCMG or pressure sensors, and combining these approaches while monitoring intra-abdominal pressure. The multi-measurement method has shown particularly impressive results, achieving 75.9 to 82% reductions in incontinence episodes in about 5 sessions, compared to 43 to 61% reductions with single-channel approaches. Efficacy. Women. Based on 20 RCTs, Meehan and Schaefer, 2023, rated biofeedback for urinary incontinence in women as level 5, efficacious and specific, in Evidence-Based Practice in Biofeedback and Neurofeedback, 4th edition. Several studies demonstrated the superiority of biofeedback for urinary incontinence in women to credible treatments in at least 2 independent research settings. The National Health Technology Assessment, NHTA, report by Imamuri et al., 2010, which included 55 trials involving 6,608 women, found that pelvic floor muscle training combined with biofeedback was effective. A Cochrane review by Herdershey et al., 2011, of 24 trials involving 1,583 women found that patients who received biofeedback reported higher remission rates or improvement than those who only received pelvic floor muscle training, PMFT. These findings may have been biased by more extensive contact with health professionals. Men. Based on 21 RCTs, Meehan and Schaefer, 2023, rated biofeedback for urinary incontinence in men as level 5, efficacious and specific, in Evidence-Based Practice in Biofeedback and Neurofeedback, 4th edition. Most studies involved men who underwent prostatectomy, removal of the prostate. They reviewed 21 RCTs. Several studies demonstrated the superiority of biofeedback for urinary incontinence in men to credible treatments in at least 2 independent research settings. Children. Based on 5 RCTs, Meehan and Schaefer, 2023, rated biofeedback for urinary incontinence in children as level 4, efficacious in Evidence-Based Practice in Biofeedback and Neurofeedback, 4th edition. Limited RCTs, including those involving dysfunctional voiding, which can be independent of UI, and methodological inconsistencies, precluded a higher rating. Meniscectomy. Meniscectomy rehabilitation through biofeedback represents a fascinating intersection of surgical recovery and neuromuscular retraining. When surgeons remove damaged meniscus cartilage from the knee, patients typically experience significant weakness in the muscles controlling leg movement. This condition affects a substantial population, with acute meniscal tears diagnosed in 61 out of 100,000 persons in the United States. The demographic pattern shows interesting variations, with males outnumbering females 2.5 to 1, peak incidence occurring in males aged 31 to 40 and females aged 11 to 20, and a notably high rate of 60% in patients over 65. The biofeedback approach to post-meniscectomy rehabilitation focuses on precise muscle strengthening using surface electromyography, SEMG. Electrodes placed over the quadriceps femoris help patients visualize and improve their muscle contractions. Due to initial muscle weakness, clinicians begin with wider electrode spacing to capture muscle activity effectively, gradually narrowing the placement as strength improves and more precise measurements become necessary. This careful progression helps prevent interference from neighboring muscle groups, particularly the hamstrings. Efficacy. Recent research has demonstrated the superiority of EMG biofeedback when combined with traditional rehabilitation approaches. A compelling randomized controlled trial by Akaya and colleagues showed that patients receiving EMG biofeedback with home exercise achieved better outcomes than those performing home exercises alone or receiving electrical stimulation therapy. These improvements manifested in faster recovery of walking ability and better scores on the Lisholm knee scoring scale. The study particularly noted enhanced activation of the vastus medialis obliquus and vastus lateralis muscles in the early post-surgical period. Muscle-tendon transfer. Muscle-tendon transfer procedures represent some of the most intricate interventions in orthopedic surgery, requiring equally sophisticated rehabilitation approaches. This surgical technique repositions tendons to create new movement patterns, essentially rewiring the body's mechanical system to compensate for permanent muscle injury or paralysis. The complexity of these procedures makes biofeedback an invaluable tool in the rehabilitation process. The rehabilitation protocol utilizes SEMG biofeedback with two primary goals: to increase motor unit recruitment in the re-educated muscles, while simultaneously reducing interference from antagonist muscles. However, in cases where traditional SEMG measurements prove challenging, such as when working with small joints like the wrist or deeply situated muscles, positional feedback through devices like electrogoniometers becomes essential. These sophisticated instruments use potentiometers placed across joints to provide precise measurements of movement angles, converting physical motion into electrical signals that patients can use to guide their rehabilitation. Efficacy. While evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback, 4th edition, did not evaluate the efficacy of biofeedback for muscle tendon transfer rehabilitation, clinical experience and case studies suggest its value in these complex cases. The ability to provide real-time, objective feedback about muscle activation and joint position proves particularly crucial when patients are learning to use muscles in entirely new ways. The precision offered by modern biofeedback equipment, such as dual-axis electrogoniometers, allows for detailed analysis of joint range of motion and movement patterns, enabling therapists to guide recovery with unprecedented accuracy. The success of biofeedback in these applications underscores its versatility as a rehabilitation tool, particularly in cases requiring precise neuromuscular retraining. As technology continues to advance, we can expect even more sophisticated applications of biofeedback in complex musculoskeletal rehabilitation scenarios. Conclusion: the field of musculoskeletal biofeedback demonstrates the remarkable plasticity of human neuromuscular control and our ability to harness technology for rehabilitation. From the precise control needed to manage blepharospasm to the complex retraining required after muscle tendon transfers, biofeedback provides a crucial bridge between patient effort and functional improvement. This review of applications reveals several key themes that underscore the field's maturity and future potential. First, the evolution of evidence-based practice has firmly established biofeedback's legitimacy in multiple domains. The achievement of level 5, efficacious and specific, ratings for conditions like erectile dysfunction and urinary incontinence represents the culmination of decades of rigorous research. These highest level ratings, supported by multiple randomized controlled trials across independent settings, provide confidence in recommending biofeedback as a first-line treatment for many conditions. The versatility of biofeedback approaches is particularly noteworthy. Whether using SEMG for muscle retraining, manometric feedback for sphincter control, or electrogoniometers for joint position awareness, these technologies adapt to diverse therapeutic needs. This adaptability extends across the lifespan, from pediatric applications in urinary incontinence to geriatric rehabilitation following knee surgery. The integration of biofeedback with traditional rehabilitation approaches highlights its role as a complementary rather than competing technology. Success rates consistently improve when biofeedback augments standard treatments, as seen in post-meniscectomy rehabilitation and pelvic floor training. This synergistic relationship suggests that biofeedback should be viewed not as an alternative, but as an essential component of comprehensive rehabilitation programs. Perhaps most significantly, biofeedback success in treating conditions with profound quality of life implications deserves emphasis. From the social isolation of fecal incontinence to the intimate challenges of erectile dysfunction, these interventions address conditions that dramatically affect patients' daily lives. The non-invasive nature of biofeedback, combined with its impressive efficacy rates, offers hope to patients who might otherwise face more invasive treatments or chronic disability. Looking forward, the field appears poised for continued advancement. While some applications like muscle tendon transfer rehabilitation await formal efficacy evaluation, ongoing technological improvements and refined protocols suggest expanding possibilities. The success of multimodal approaches, particularly in complex conditions, points toward increasingly sophisticated and personalized treatment protocols. In conclusion, musculoskeletal biofeedback represents a mature field with validated applications across a spectrum of conditions. Its evolution from experimental technique to evidence-based intervention demonstrates the power of combining rigorous research with technological innovation. As we continue to understand the intricate relationships between conscious control and automated bodily functions, biofeedback's role in rehabilitation seems likely to grow even more significant.